You know, it's funny to do these songs for everybody out there. I don't know how many of you have heard either the Jazz Passengers or Sotto Voce, but when I met Tim, I just, I'd met Tim like 6 or 7 years, more, it was already like 7 or 8 years ago. And, you know, the Jazz Passengers, when we were touring with Debbie Harry in the 70s, we were playing some pretty big places and stuff. And then she left, and I had my kid, and I started working at the school, and I realized, you know, I wasn't, didn't have to make all my money doing that. I met Tim, and Tim had sang, is an amazing singer, went to choir school, and is a jazz bass player, and he was an amazing young guy, and he wanted, was willing to rehearse a lot. So that's how this Sotto Voce came from me and Tim. So it's kind of nice for us to be playing.
Yeah, normally we play with a great trombonist named Curtis Folks, right, and a great violinist named Sam Bardfeld, and a great beatboxer, of all things.
Napoleon Maddox, who really is the most amazing. He's the only one that I know. I'm sure there's a couple of other people out, but he plays a lot with Hemi Drake, and he does a lot of jazz things. Jazz. How would you describe him, Kurt? Napoleon's thing. I mean, he's pretty amazing.
Yeah, he's in the Detroit hip-hop crew, I guess. He's
he's from Cincinnati. So it's a Midwest
Cincinnati area, maybe, yeah. But yeah, he's on Hamid Drake's Reggaeology from this year, which is a crazy great record. And yeah, his work with you. And let's step back a bit and mention Curtis Folks again, because
let's talk about Curtis. He's gone, he's on his way driving down to Atlanta now. And Curtis started the Jazz Passengers with me, and you know,
but
really,
you know him from before that. You know him from the playing in the circus,
Big Apple Circus.
Amazing. When you were teenagers, is that right?
No. Actually, the funniest, we got to be friends in our early 20s. Uh-huh. I was in my early 20s, and you know, mid 20s. But in fact, which is a lot, I'm going to be 60 this year, so it's a long time ago. And we're going to have a 60th birthday party on May 17th at the Jazz Standard.
All right.
I'm going to come out to that. But Kurt and I also played in the All Brooklyn Band in junior high school in 1964, I guess. I was 13. He was 14. He's a year older than me. He's much older than me. And he played in the trombone section, and I played in the clarinet section, and we did not meet until 10 years later playing in the circus.
Oh, amazing.
And made it a point never not to play together again.
And while we're filling in a couple gaps, In Love was the record with that the Jazz Passengers did with Mavis Staples.
Right.
Which can be found on Amazon, used.
Really? Wow.
It won't help you, but I just looked it up, and if people are really jonesing for it, it is there.
You can get it on eBay, too, I've seen.
Okay. And you mentioned Rose Music Live earlier, the benefits this weekend.
Right. There's a couple of things. This next Friday, not this Friday, Friday, January 7th, we need money to get the kids, my high school kids, to England. Of course, the festival's paying for everything when they get there, and professionally, you know, the Sotto Voce band's playing there, and the Jazz Passengers are playing with Debbie Harry. We're playing with the Northern Symphonia with the orchestra.
Oh, amazing.
So it's a big, big week there, except we got to get the kids there.
Right.
And America, being the stupid country that it is, doesn't even have money to get kids to play at a major jazz festival. We have no grant to do that. Last time I took them to Paris, I had gotten a grant from the French-American part of the Cambridge Chamber of Music America, but we're trying to get money. We have a Kickstarter thing for that.
Mm-hmm.
So you should check the Kickstarter for teens go to England or something. And then the gig is going to be at 6 o'clock Friday, January 7th. We're charging a ton of money, $25. I know it's a lot of money, but we have to get a lot of money.
And that room is intimate like a tight sweater. So
right.
Get there early, 345 right. Grand Street in Williamsburg.
The other thing I want to talk about is we've been looking for, I mean, we've been playing. It's hard to find the right place for this kind of music to play. For a long time, we played it. We built this thing at Barbez. We played every week for Barbez. But it's kind of busy at Barbez now, and I'm just looking for another place. And we had done something else at a place near me called Sycamore, but it wasn't really right. But now I found this great place called Zora's Place. Everybody should check www.zoras.com.
Yes, and we're going to play there.
Right, January 15th, we're going to play there. And then also with a big band of a lot of great players, Kurt and Curtis, on January 29th. But they have a lot of terrific things. It's on 4th Avenue between 1st and 2nd. And Zora's a really, really nice woman who's very devoted to community art stuff. And I think it for people in Park Slope or in South Brooklyn, this is going to be a really good new venue. So.
And they have good hummus too, right?
Right. All right. So that's my thing for that.
Let me ask you one other thing, because you mentioned Debbie, and I've never exactly asked you this quite in this direction, but having listened to your music for a long time, and then to sort of see you come around, and it's been a decade now or whatever, to working with two of my favorite high school artists, Deborah Harry and Elvis Costello.
They went to high school with you, Kurt?
Yes, indeed. I just wonder, like, did you know their music from the 80s? Did you go back and listen to it? Do you have an affinity? I know you've done Titus High and another Blondie song.
Well,
with
it's
the
a
Passengers,
that's a funny question, because now that I
teach, are you a secret new waver?
Well,
that's
no,
my question.
That I teach teenagers now, it's funny, because I was such an impossible snob musically back then when I was that age, that I lived in the East Village. I lived with a friend of mine who was a playwright named Ray Diamonds, and we were very involved in the whole downtown theater scene. So I did play at CB's, but I played crazy out screeching saxophone. That's why people hired me. You know, I played like with Emilio Cuburio and Lydia Lunch, and you know, Lydia Lunch's
sure.
stuff and stuff, you know, people like that. And so I knew people who knew Debbie, but I never listened to any of that music. I just listened to Out Jazz and John Cage and stuff like that. But I was in that scene culturally, you know, and so I mean, I'd heard a few things on the radio, but by the time we played with Debbie, I just wanted to do it with her because I liked her attitude, and I knew that she was a good actress, and that she could act the songs. I knew she had the right. The problem is jazz singers don't have the same kind of respect for words and idea that words are transformative, and idea, you know, and sort of the same relationship to insanity, to like to liking, you know, things to be unknowable or something. It's something like that. You know, it's all about knowing. I think jazz is a lot about decoding things rather than uncoding things, which is interesting to me. And I think that, you know, that's the new wave thing. So that sensibility I like. And so that's why when we had, I mean, Jeff Buckley sang with us on that record, and Jimmy Scott, who did a great job, and a lot of people did great, but I really did think, not, it was also a thing that she was in the city. We asked her to sing with us, and she did, and she had an affinity for what we did. And it was the same situation with Elvis Costello. Elvis invited us to play at the Meltdown Festival, and I didn't know his music very well, hardly. I knew Allison. And you know, and he sent some of his songs that he wanted me to, he was thinking, what did you want to arrange? And I arranged Man at a Time and a couple of other of his tunes, and he was such a great guy. He's a wonderful guy, and he liked it. So I think the fact that I came at this music from as if it was like Tuval throat music, which I knew way more about. You know, over time, I suppose, I got to listen to some of it, you know.
Right, right. So you want to play another song for us?
Yeah, let's play, what are we going to play, Timmy? Shake?